As we begin our journey through these seven last words of Jesus Christ, we begin in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. I'm going to begin with verse 26, and it reads, "As they led him away, they seized a man named Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him, and they made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, "Blessed are the barren and the woman, blessed are barren in the womb and that have never borne, and breasts that have never nursed." Then they will begin to say to the mountains, "Fall on us," and to the hills, "Cover us." For if they do this, when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others were also criminals, were led to be put to death with him. Then they came to the place that is called the Skull. They crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right hand and the other on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." And they cast lots and divided his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, which read, "This is the King of the Jews." The Gospel of the Lord. Allow me, if you will, to set a scene in your mind. It's the day after the Passover feast. All the Passover prayers have been prayed. All of the Passover meals have been eaten. The trial has taken place. A murderer was granted freedom and a pardon. An innocent man named Jesus has been found guilty and has been sentenced to death by crucifixion. The governor, Pontius Pilate, proclaimed, "I find no fault in him." While the Jews shouted in the background, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Battered and beaten, they led Jesus away, struggling under the weight of a cross that was on his shoulder. The very cross that he was scheduled to die on. And as Jesus and his tormentors took what must have felt like a never-ending journey to a place called Calvary, also known as the Skull, where Jesus would be nailed to the cross, along the way they came across a man named Simon from Cyrene, who was forced to carry the cross the rest of the way. But in the crowd that followed behind, teasing and tormenting Jesus, not everyone in that crowd wanted to see him dead. There were some who truly loved God, and there were some who loved Jesus and wanted nothing more than to see him set free. And as they poured out their sorrow and feelings of compassion, Jesus turned to them And he said the words, "Daughters of Zion, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For my mortal life is nearly over. All my suffering and pain will soon be gone. But you and your children, you're going to have to live out the rest of your lives. You're going to have to deal with people who will greet you with a smile in the morning and stab you in the back by the time the sun goes down. You will have to deal with people who will greet you with cheers of Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And then, no less than 5 days later, greet you with shouts of "Crucify him, crucify him." So be faithful while you have the opportunity, for in the days to come, things are going to get rough. The roads are going to get tough. But don't lose faith. Hang in there, because God is with you. And as they made their way to the top of the hill, amidst the cheers, the tears, and the jeers, Jesus was nailed to the cross. And on either side of him were also two men nailed. Two men who had been convicted of crimes they had committed. And as Jesus hung there on the cross, body wrecked with pain, listening to all of the insults that were being hurled at him, Jesus looked up into the heavens and he began to pray this prayer. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, you were right. They treated me just like you said they would. They loved me when you healed them and hated me when I tried to teach them right from wrong. They loved me when I performed miracles that benefited them, but they hated me when I tried to share with them the Holy Word. They made my disciples lie. They made my mother cry. They beat me. They spat on me. And now they've nailed me to the cross. And if the prophecy holds true, soon they'll be gambling away my clothing. Even after all of this, Father, I have one request. Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They didn't know any better, because they were so consumed with judgment. They were clouded with selfish pride and anger and hatred. They were driven by greed and envy. And though what they did not seem right in their eyes, it seemed right in their eyes at the time. When they come to their senses, when they begin to feel the guilt and the remorse and the shame of their actions, Father, if you would be so gracious, if you can find it in your heart to look beyond their actions and forgive them when they stand before you on the day of judgment." Beloved people of God, if you were in Jesus' place, after having gone through all that he had endured, would you be able to look to God and ask him to forgive those of what they have done to you? Thanks be to God, we don't have to endure as much as Jesus did. Or will we? I can't help but to wonder, when the time comes, will we be able to ask God to forgive someone who has mistreated us, who has cheated you, who has lied to you or lied about you. When the time comes, will you be able to forgive someone who has cursed you out, beat you up, called you everything under the sun, except the child of God? Beloved people of God, God knows your hearts, and God knows your minds, and He also knows everything that we're going through. He knows the tests and the trials and the tribulations that we face every day. And yet, when all of these things come about, when all these troubles and burdens fall upon us, will we be able to look up and say, Father, forgive them, because they didn't know what they were doing? I challenge each of us today, as we think about all that we've been through, have we been through such a time in our lives where we cannot find forgiveness in our hearts for those who may have treated us wrong, for those who may have done us wrong? As you hear the words preached from our next six pastors, I challenge you at the end of this service to look at your life and ask yourself this question: is there something that someone has done to me that was so bad that I can never find it in my heart to ask God to forgive them? Keeping in mind that there may come a time when we may encounter someone who we may have wronged, and we want them to forgive us for something we may have done to them. Beloved people of God, I leave you with that challenge. As Jesus has asked His Father to forgive those who tormented Him for what they did for Him and to Him, I wonder if we can do the same to those in our lives. Amen. Amen. Amen.